Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 8th of January, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. This show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. So I'll start today by wishing listeners a Happy New Year, and I hope you achieve all you want to in your business and social enterprise from in 2016. And on that theme in today's show, we'll be talking with Peter Lodeman, who works with individuals and businesses, helping them to set and achieve realistic goals. We're also talking today with Jermaine Smith, the boss of Juice to You, which is riding a wave of celebrity endorsements and selling their fresh juices all over the world. But before we turn to our guests, a quick roundup of what's going on in business and social enterprise. Women from business, education and politics have been among the notable recipients in the 2016 New Year's Honours list, with the owner of Sheffield's New Mill Engineering, Anne Wilson, who's been a guest on this programme a couple of times, receiving an MBE alongside the owner of Duncombe Sawmill in Helmsley, North Yorkshire, Emma Woods. The UK's small and medium-sized businesses say that the availability of better technology is going to be the most important contributor for business growth this year, according to a new survey, with 39% saying it will have a positive impact, up from its position in second place last year. The new research comes from Barclays Business, and the findings polled decision-makers of UK small businesses on the impact of a series of factors on their business growth in 2016. Findings also revealed that consumer demand will be vital to accelerate growth, although the thought on consumer demand fell from first to second most influential factor. International markets and overseas opportunities remain a key focus, appearing in the top three, and other key factors that SMEs believe will have a net positive impact on growth in 2016 include a move to online or improvements in digital presence, and also major sporting and cultural events like the Rio Olympics. A Yorkshire specialist digital publisher based here in Sheffield has secured its 100th university online contract worldwide. Greenleaf Publishing specialises in books and journals on sustainability and responsible business, and they're aimed at MBA and management students, researchers, tutors and business consultants. The company's latest customer is the Sino-British College, part of the University of Shanghai for Science and Technology. And that customer joins Cambridge, the London Business School, Yale, Monash in Australia and Copenhagen Business School in making Greenleaf's online libraries available to students and researchers across the world. Greenleaf also works with several Yorkshire-based university libraries, including Sheffield, Bradford, Leeds Beckett, Hull and Huddersfield. Government funding of almost £2 million has now been confirmed to help support the hundreds of people affected by job losses and restructure at Tata Steel. The Department for Business, Innovation and Skills has also said that £1.5 million will be used to support specific training and accreditation for affected steelworkers through local further education colleges in conjunction with the Skills Funding Agency. And an additional £350,000 has been confirmed to assist supply chain businesses hit by the Tata Steel job cuts, including 490 at the Scunthorpe plant. The government has also announced it's considering a further request by partners across the Sheffield City region for a further £2.5 million in business support grants. And UK Steel Enterprise, which is a regeneration subsidiary of Tata Steel, has pledged £1.5 million of extra funding for job creation. And work is now underway on a £65 million landmark development in Sheffield City Centre, with key investors flying in from China last week to attend a traditional Chinese-style groundbreaking ceremony where sand surrounding a plinth was turned over. So construction has commenced on New Era Square. It's a 20-storey mixed leisure, commercial and residential development. It's going to transform the area between London Road and Bramall Lane, close to the city centre. And New Era Development UK Limited is a Sheffield-based company behind the plans, creating what they say will be a cosmopolitan, international and multicultural focal point. The scheme has been designed by architects Hadfield Corkwell Davidson, they're Sheffield-based, and building works are being led by Baumer and Kirkland from Derbyshire. Work's being carried out now to prepare the foundations for the development. It's going to include retail units, food and drink, and an open square for events. Project should create hundreds of new jobs, according to the developers, once construction has been completed. And it will feature office space for professional service businesses and a Sheffield City Region China Business Incubator chaired by Richard Caborn to enhance enterprise and trade links between China and the UK. So turning now to our first guest, I'm delighted to welcome into the studio Peter Lodeman. Peter, good morning and thanks very much for joining me today.
Morning, Jamie.
So it's your third or fourth time on Sheffield Live. Thanks for coming back into the studio. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, you're here to help listeners frame and identify appropriate goals for their business, for their social enterprise and in their personal life, of course, and to help them achieve them. That's what you do with your clients. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you don't only do here in the UK, but actually you've done some work in Ethiopia as well, haven't you?
I have. I've been to Ethiopia four times over the past 2 years.
And so let's just start, before we come to some concrete advice for listeners on how to set those goals in their business. It's a time, the start of the year, where we're all thinking about business goals, how to achieve them. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk a little bit about what you've done then on those several trips to Ethiopia.
So going to Ethiopia was really about taking my business, where I coach individuals and businesses, and doing it over there. But this is my part of giving back. So my hands weren't really built for building schools. But I think I'm pretty good with people, so I actually do go over there, meet people, coach them one-to-one with the challenges they have in their life. And the challenges they have are very similar to the challenges that people have in the UK. So relationships, career, goal setting, all of those things, confidence building, all of that. And having been there a few times, I was there last year for 3 months to really establish what I do over there, and ended up doing real consultancy work with businesses over there. So yes. Management consultancy business, communications business, training business. And more recently, I've been doing self-development workshops on a variety of things. So one was helping startups with their business plans. Another session I did was all about reflecting on where they are in their life and asking the key questions to understand where you actually want to be as opposed to where you are. And then I did a whole session on neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which was all about communications and growing your confidence. So I get involved in lots of things over there, as well as writing a TV script.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. And you've written several episodes of that, I understand.
So I've written it. Yeah, it's based on my experiences over there, which, being in an African country, you can imagine I get into a number of scrapes, I think on a naive basis at times, but feeling secure. So Addis Ababa, and the capital, is a very secure city. I never feel physically threatened. But, yeah, I've written a 6-series TV script, which is really based in BBC-styly mm-hmm. mode, but fortunately met the lead writer, what would be equivalent to EastEnders in Ethiopia,
yep.
And she's helping me to adapt it into Ethiopian style, and all being well, it might be produced in Ethiopia later this year.
Tremendous news. Mm. Excellent. So you mentioned the work that you've been doing in Ethiopia then has... encompass personal development, asking appropriate questions to help people identify their goals, move forward and achieve them. Also management consultancy, business consultancy. And in many ways, as you said, that's similar to the work that you do in the UK with businesses and individuals. Your career has taken you from cities, working in London, in Liverpool, in Edinburgh, with very large organisations, as well as working with smaller businesses, sort of few person and even one person businesses as a coach as well. Do you want to just expand on the range of work that you've been doing here in the UK too?
Yeah, so my main career was 25 years based in the wealth management industry in the City of London, at a fairly senior level, doing strategy development with those businesses from software companies, outsourcing companies and wealth management businesses, where I do go in and sort out their technology and operational needs and work out what are their visions and goals for the future as well. So last year I was in Edinburgh for 6 months on a project working with Standard Life Investments, where they were moving systems, but and I was head of communications, the communications stream there, and dealing with all the clients and communicating with about 130,000 clients.
Yes.
And as we know, in financial services, regulation hits hard, so getting those communications right is very important.
If they get those communications wrong, they're liable for significant
They could be fined. They could be fined. Yeah, most certainly. And not just that, but the reputational risk is enormous. Yeah, it really impacts quite hard. And you know, I think financial services firms, because of the way the media portrays that industry, then they get a tough appraisal, I think, because you actually see big dealing rooms on TV, on the news, and it's not all like that. That's about 10% of what actually goes on. There's a mountain of work behind that, and a lot of good people working in these businesses doing the right thing. But it's, you know, bad news is news, isn't it? Or, yeah, if you can portray it in that way, then it creates news. But, you know, wealth management firms are like any other firm. You've got really good cultures, good people working there. And
I think you could say that in an industry that employs hundreds of thousands of people, there are going to be some people who care passionately about doing the right thing, and some people, you know, you could always find the odd person who needs to improve, let's say.
Yeah, certainly.
So compliance, though, and communication there is absolutely key.
Totally, yeah.
So you talked about 25 years in that industry and working in large financial organisations. But you continue to do some of that sort of work from time to time, but you're working with much smaller businesses and working with individuals as well. Now, tell me about the move towards that. Why the passion for that? It's obviously, from talking with you outside the studio, I know how much this really, really excites you.
Yep.
Tell me about the move to that.
So the move to coaching and being more smaller business orientated and more people orientated, I guess, was about 15 years ago. I went on a leadership course in New York. And met coaches there, and I thought, okay, one day I'm going to do this. And then the timing in 2009 was just right, and I created my business called Lyft, L-Y-F-T, which stands for Live Your Future Today. Got qualified as a coach and a practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And since then, I've been acting as a consultant and a professional coach and dealing with individuals on a one-to-one basis. And then I came to Sheffield 4 years ago, in March, actually, and then started working with smaller businesses here and individuals here.
So how do you help them? What do you do with a small business or an individual?
So if I use an example of a small business that I've been working with, it's a small accountancy firm just based outside Chesterfield, six people strong. An owner who's had the business for 20 years, but sort of like was losing himself and why he was actually doing his business. So what I do with that size of business is spend time with the actual owner to understand exactly why they do what they do and understand what they want in their life. Because as a small business owner, what you do with your business impacts on your life, and what you do in your life impacts on your business. You can't actually split the two up.
Now, this might be familiar to many of our listeners if they're running small businesses, businesses with under 10 employees, or even one, two, three-person businesses. And you mentioned, you said a phrase there which might ring true too in terms of being lost in the business as well.
Yes.
And business and life merging there. So people like this client of yours, it can be very easy for people to get lost in the operational day-to-day responsibility without necessarily being able to take the time to step back and look on the strategy, the long-term development, and for the business to take over their life. Is that what you're talking about with clients?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think when people decide to actually set up their own business, and they may have been working with in corporate world, if you like, or for somewhere else for a number of years and thought, I can do this on my own. And then they start doing that, and they're very good technically at what they do, but running a business is so, so much more bigger than that. And they, for the first few months, they run around getting clients and then doing the stuff. But then they understand they've got to look after the financial management of the business. They've got to do sales and marketing, get out there on something they're probably not used to doing, get out there on the streets, doing all the advertising, getting used to social media and Twitter and Facebook and all that just to actually get business in. And they spend, they're on this treadmill where they're working 24/7 every day, and get to a point where they just get totally worn out and forget what the original vision was.
Yes, so, quite.
And so, like individuals do at this time of year, it's an anniversary, it's a new year, it's a new start. Then maybe it's a time for actual business owners to actually reawaken what their original vision was. It's probably gone a million miles away from where they started out.
So again, then, if that rings true for listeners, if it's a good time to reawaken that vision of what you want from your business, or if you're running a social enterprise, what your vision is, what your mission is, and what you're trying to do, or if you're running a business. Now, how should people approach this so that they're going to do something different, do something that changes it for the better?
Yeah, I think the first part is to get rid of all the clutter.
Right.
You know, really declutter what's going on. Get rid of the people who are holding you back, the stuff that's holding you back from really moving on, and get rid of the energy sappers, because there's a lot around you. And look around at what you're actually doing. Does it actually add to the purpose of what you're about?
So do you mean people in business end up doing a lot of stuff out of habit that actually doesn't even move the business forward?
And part of that is not spending time to sit back and reflect on what you're actually doing and what value does what you're doing add to the business and to the purpose of the business. And it may well be you've actually lost sense of why you're in business. And business isn't just about making money. I mean, that is the first thing people think about. Oh, I'm in business to make money. You're not doing that just to make money. You're in business to make a contribution to someone, whether it's your customers, the stakeholders, the suppliers, whatever. You're in business to do something more than just make money. And it's actually understanding that, getting back to that point of, why am I doing this? What does it add to my life as well?
Yes, so business owners, business leaders, social enterprise managers will, in many cases, really, really recognise what you're talking about. But I suppose it's easy for what you call the clutter to have got on top of that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. And you're running on a treadmill, basically. And you may go to courses and seminars, and in some ways that's just a break from being on the treadmill. But then you get out, get back in your car and get back on the treadmill and start running again, you know, like the hamster on the wheel, without really thinking about, why am I doing this? What is this about anymore? And it really is, you know, for individuals, this is a time for reflection. And I think it's a time for reflection for business owners as well, to actually think, if I was sat here now in 2017, what have I achieved? Or am I just going to get back on the treadmill again? And run after my tail.
Indeed. Okay, good advice there in terms of a reflective process. Now, What sort of questions do you ask people then to help them to identify appropriate goals? Because you talked about a questioning process.
Yes.
How do you help people to do that?
So, I mean, it's actually getting people to stop and I will ask a number of challenging questions about where they're going. And it's not just jump in and just like really scare them so they fall off the seat straight away. You have to ease them into it. But at some point, they will be thinking deeply about what are they about, what is their purpose, you know, not just in their business, but when I start out with them, it's like, what is your purpose generally? Because going back to the point, your business is your life is your business. You understand what you're about and what you're trying to achieve, what your values are, what your beliefs are, because that all flows back into your business and flows into your life. You get to understand that, then you start to realize, ah, this is what my business is about. This is why I'm doing this.
So that process of remembering or reflecting, identifying what your business is about. So who is it going to help? And you talked earlier about it's not just about making money. It's got to have values well beyond that. And of course, again, that will resonate with so many listeners here. But it's sometimes in the day-to-day treadmill that you've talked about, that can be forgotten. Okay.
Yeah.
So then the reflective process is obviously crucial. Then we come through to making something happen, and as you've said, if you were in the same seat in 12 months' time, thinking about your business, you want it to have moved forward. You want it to have changed. So how do people then do that? How, you know, implementation?
I think just before you get to implementation, you've actually got to have that vision in place.
Okay.
Yeah? You've got to understand what sort of environment you want to be working in. And by that, I mean not just the office space or the factory space, but also the people that you're mixing with, the customers that you have on board, the suppliers that you now work alongside, maybe the stakeholders as well. As a, you know, people say that customer is king, but customers don't just make the business. You have to look after your employees. You have to look after the stakeholders. You've got to make sure you've got the right suppliers. In those first few months while you're running around just trying to get income in, you're probably not going to get all the types of clients that you really want. And after 12 months, you may end up with some clients who are just using up all your time and your energy, and you're missing potential bigger new clients or better clients. You know, there's a sweet spot client. So you need to do that segmentation of clients up front. So there's the environment that you have to think about. The culture, are the culture of the business, is it flexible enough? Are you too controlling? You know, the behaviours that you want to portray as a leader, are they in there? Do you have the right people working for you? Have they got the right capabilities? Have you got the right tools and resources to do the job? And so all of that, you need to sit back and think, Is this exactly what I set out to do when I, you know, did that blue sky thinking, when you're thinking about your business plan and going through all that? Is that really what I'm doing now?
Yes.
And if not, what's getting in the way? What's stopping me from getting there? Have I changed? Has my vision changed? Has my purpose changed? And if it has, that's fine. But then reset your vision, reset your goal, and plan to actually get there.
So that's a crucial part of the process then. Resetting your vision, if need be, and consideration of whether the sort of elements are in place. And it's an interesting point as well in terms of customers, particularly if someone's in a business that's been going for a year, it's been going for 2 years, maybe 3 years. And as you said, dependent on the nature of the business, they might have picked up customers that really they're not the best fit for them anymore.
Yeah.
And need to look, and as you said, suppliers too, and need to look at the best partners, the best stakeholders in the business. Okay, so those elements are absolutely crucial. Now, we're going to go on to the next stage of the process in a moment, but I thought we would actually just take a quick break, in which we could play a track of music. And this, of course, is a track of music which has been chosen by you, Peter. So we'll come back to you in a moment, but we're just going to take a quick music break. And this is Pharrell Williams. And the track is Happy.
Begbie's Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbie's Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbie's Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business life.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. And in the studio at the moment, we're talking with Peter Lodeman, who is helping businesses and social enterprises and individuals to identify their vision, their values, and set appropriate goals, and then to achieve them, of course. So, Peter, we've been talking about values in business. We've been talking about vision. We've been talking about what business leaders, as leaders of businesses and as individuals, want to achieve, and getting the elements in place to help them to do that. So I suppose moving forward in terms of making that happen, you've done that. You've helped businesses. Mm-hmm. You've talked about an accountancy firm, for example, small yep. business, under 10 employees, perhaps comparable to many listeners' businesses mm-hmm. as well. Top tips on implementation.
Once, as before, we were talking about actually having that vision and making it a very specific goal and a measurable goal as well. And on that point, you really have to set a very tight plan and commit to that plan. Commitment yeah. to all of this is the key part. If you don't commit to it, it's not going to happen. But the plan has to be very rigorous. It has to be agreed against anyone who's going to be involved in that, because goal setting is very, very personal. You can't impose goals on people, because it isn't just going to happen. They have to own it as well. They've got to belong to the whole process. The key to implementation is an agreed plan with real agreed timescales. It's got to be written down, and it's got to be monitored on a regular basis and adjusted, and be flexible to it from where you started out. It doesn't mean, you know, where you started out, that has to be it, because life changes. You know, things change. You learn new things. In the beginning, you don't know everything. You don't know what you don't know. But the plan, and sticking to the plan, monitoring the plan, sticking to the timescales is what is really key. And I can't emphasise enough the word commitment. You okay. have to commit to what you're going to do. And as an individual, if you want to commit to a plan, in your head you may have a list of things that you want to achieve in 2016, but you'll create greater commitment if you actually write it down. Write it down in a place where you maybe see it every day. So maybe put it on your fridge with a fridge magnet, and then you see that goal every day. And there's a reminder there every day that you wanted to reach a certain weight or whatever it is. And if you want to commit even more, tell other people exactly what you're going to do, because then you're making a contract with people to do those things.
There's an accountability element there.
Exactly.
In terms
That's
of that commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, super. So plan. Don't lurch from deadline to deadline or crisis to yeah. crisis, but plan. Make a commitment and make yourself accountable as well can help.
Yeah. I think the stats are about, at this time of year, 75% people make a New Year's resolution and 8% actually gets achieved, and most of that is lost in the first month. Most of those people are lost in the first month.
In other words, 92% of people don't fulfil or achieve
yes.
their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Quite. Okay, super. So some sage advice there, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. Now, in 2016, an exciting year ahead for you then, potentially, with you talked at the start of the show, potentially a TV programme in Ethiopia as well about your experiences could be made.
Could so, be.
Yeah, and undoubtedly goals in the UK as well in terms of helping more.
Yeah, helping more businesses. just before Christmas, launch a program to actually help businesses with what I've been talking about today, business owners. So there are people signing up for an eight-month course involving coaching and business mentoring during the next 8-10 months. So if you want to hear more of that, get in touch.
And how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Probably the best way is to call me on 07753905054 or my website, email peter@lyft.co.uk.
Super. Well, Peter Lodeman, live your future today. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you for your advice for our listeners.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. And we're just going to take a quick ad break before our next guest.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. And Business Live is our weekly programme about business and social enterprise. It's one, of course, of numerous shows on Sheffield Live. And if you've just tuned in, you've missed Peter Lodeman talking about how to achieve your business and social enterprise goals in 2016. But don't panic, because if you've just tuned in and missed that, you haven't really missed it. You can find it on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website later, where Business Live podcast will be hosted, like all of our shows. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, find shows, look up Business Live, and then you'll be able to tune in to today's program. Now, I'm joined now, delighted to be joined in the studio by a Sheffield mumtrepreneur creating a juicy culture. With millions of Brits wanting to get healthier in the new year, Jermaine Smith is ready for them. Jermaine, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us today. So okay. your business is a leading detox juicing brand, Juice to You.
Yeah.
Started at your kitchen table.
It did indeed, yes.
So it was a juicer from a supermarket, I understand.
Yes, I started juicing for myself 3 years ago, and it's just gone. It just all started from there, basically.
So that's absolutely incredible. And you now have a celebrity following as well, encompassing pop stars and TV reality show participants and so on.
Yeah, we have a big celebrity following at the moment, yeah, especially with January as well, so yeah. They're all coming back for more detoxes. But yeah, I've had a lot of celebrities over the 3 years and built up a good reputation.
Yes.
Yeah,
so absolutely incredible. But this has been an amazing story as well, because I'd really like to mention you grew up in Park Hill and you struggled with dyslexia at school.
Yes, I still do. Yeah, it's been a nightmare.
And we've had people for whom dyslexia has been a challenge that they've overcome or they are overcoming on this programme before. We have had an author on the programme who's now best-selling author, who lots of people don't know is dyslexic. But this is something that hasn't held you back at all, it seems, in business.
No, not at all. I'm more creative, obviously. I've always been creative from a little girl, so that's what I enjoy doing. And with the juices, I find that creative as well, because I designed all the juices myself. But, yeah, I've always struggled with dyslexia, and I'm still struggling now, so, yeah.
And so you're from school, and from not gaining a qualification in school, you had a stall in the market. You went to set up a vintage stall and then a second-hand shop, I understand.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I've always earned my own money. I dropped out at school at a young age because I always felt different. And I went on to do the markets with help from a family member getting me to and from the market. And I just used to buy junk, basically, and sell it on. But I used to call it vintage.
But so, you're making it sound as though it was just something that you did. But obviously, this is an immense achievement in terms of struggling, as you said, with dyslexia.
You don't realise at the time, but now looking back, yeah, it was a big struggle. But when you've always had it, you just live with it. Yeah. But looking back now, I know how much I have struggled over the years.
Yes.
But you do have to just stay positive and strong, and you know, you just have to go for it.
And go for it, I suppose, is what's happened with the juicing business, because it started with simply wanting to make juice for yourself, I understand.
Yeah, I'm just like a typical woman, you know, tried everything, always want to look and feel good. And I just started juicing for myself, basically, that was it.
So what happened? Was it friends asking
basically,
you?
Basically, yeah, I did the juices for over 3 days, and then a friend was going, oh, you look good, you've had a facial, I'm getting all these compliments. And then I did one juice for a family member and then their friends and their friends. And it just escalated from there.
And so where do you get the fruit and the vegetables? Where are you getting them to start with?
Oh, I went to the Sheffield markets and just bought carrier bags full of fruit. Started playing around with the fruits, picking all the ones that you like, which is not necessarily the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now I've learnt over time. And it was just, you know, just happened like that, basically. But went to Tesco's and bought a £20 blender.
So I could imagine you sort of carrying massive bags of fruit and vegetables, going to your kitchen, putting them all into this domestic juicer. Yeah. You must have been juicing every hour of the day.
Well, when I originally started, it used to take me forever because I thought you had to peel everything, which you don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, so everything's just been, you know, I'm self-taught with everything I've done. You know, it's all been a big learning curve. I've made mistakes, but, you know, I've just carried on.
Yes.
So, yeah, I've had to get some help along the way with nutritionists and trading standard guidelines and everything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the business then, in this time, 3 years ago that you set it up, and now you've called in a nutritionist, you've researched trading standards, guidelines, you found premises as well.
I have found premises, yeah.
And you're now selling hundreds or, well, thousands of juices or, you know, every single week. So that's an incredible story. How did you sort out the supply chain then and the premises? Who gave you the advice? What did you? Where did you do the research?
Basically, what I did is me and my daughter, who's... when she was 18 at the time, we just got on the internet and started researching different, you know, bottle companies, because I was using water bottles from and emptying the water out and then putting my juices in and just putting big numbers on the front.
Yes.
And I tried to stick with local businesses, you know, the printers, everything's local in Sheffield, because I wanted to stick with local, but the bottles do have to come, you know, from a different city. So, but yeah, just... It's been stressful at times, you know, and tiring, but we've kept going and, you know, it's worked out and it's still hard work today.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I am overcoming lots of different things, but my daughter does help me, especially with the emails and customer service and answering everything like that, which I really struggle with even now, so, yeah.
And you're a whiz on social media as well.
I am. I've built all my business up through social media and I think that's a bit that I'm good at.
Right, and that that encompasses thousands of followers on Facebook, something like 12,000 followers on Instagram, 30,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And those followers and that social media following, that translates into sales.
Yeah, so each one of the followers is a potential customer. So you've got to keep them interested, you know, you've got to keep your social media active. You know, it's all about networking with, you know, a blind audience, really. So, yeah.
What advice would you give then to someone who's in business and they're using social media, you know, in terms of what works for you? And
I'd just be proactive. I'd be on there because, you know, since I started, there's a lot of juice companies out there. So I have to make sure that I'm different. Lots of interaction with followers, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, tweet about that. You know, don't be shy in contacting people direct. You know, that always works. Can you give me a follow back? You know, private message. message. Just basically it's building a relationship up with different people. So, yeah.
Yes. So use it to build relationships. And you said then don't be shy as well. And certainly no one could be accuse you of being shy in terms of promoting the business. Yeah. You've notably sent a detox pack to some TV stars when they came back from a hedonistic weekend away.
Yeah, that was a turning point, I think, for Juice Theory. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I used my brains, and when all the TOWIE cast came back from Vegas, they all received a 3-day detox on the doorstep.
And then that translates into awareness, does it? And
yeah, big media it's brand coverage. Awareness. Yeah. And obviously they were posting their results, and then that's when it was a massive turning point for my business.
Yeah. And so now your factory in Sheffield, you're based just off Abbeydale Road,
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and how are the juices distributed then?
Basically, it's sort of like we work on a conveyor belt. We have to get everything prepared, juiced, you know, within set time to get them out for delivery. So we work into the time. So there's about 9-10 staff at the moment. So we've all got our jobs, and we use a courier company that pick all the juices up and then distribute throughout the UK.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And you mentioned challenges. You mentioned growing a business like this from a kitchen business to now a worldwide business is challenging.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned challenges in the past as well. What's the biggest challenge you've faced in business and had to overcome?
The biggest one was when I opened a lingerie shop and I saw Road and left me in £80,000 worth of personal debt. That was hard.
That must have been.
Yeah, it was really stressful, really hard. Yeah.
So how did you bounce back from that, and what would you do differently, or what lessons would you advise listeners so that they don't find themselves in that position in terms of business failure?
I would say keep your overheads low.
Yeah.
If you can work from home, work from home. You know, everything's online at the moment, so, you know, grow your business online. That's what I personally would do. At that time, I didn't know anything about, you know, social media or anything like that. You know, I wanted it all singing and dancing, you know, big, you know, lingerie boutique. Really do your research, because Sheffield wasn't the market for it.
Right. Was that the case? It wasn't the right
Yeah,
market,
it wasn't.
The right
I think it wasn't the right
and the
place.
Overheads were too high.
Yeah, the overheads were too high. I was just in too deep.
Yeah.
So, but it was very stressful being left with £80,000 worth of debt. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And so the health element was personal in terms of...
It was personal on the back end of the lingerie business, yeah.
And yet then it was essentially friends saying, this is so good.
Yeah, I spoke to my mum and I was like, I'm going to do another business. And she said, you're crazy, don't... Cause she knew how down I was about, you know, the lingerie boutique. It was such a struggle. And she just said, you're crazy, don't do it. And I said, I've got to give it another go. And I did. And I'm just so glad, I listened. My mum was just worried for my health.
Yes.
But I just thought, I've got to do it. I've got to be successful. I've been doing, like, since I was 13. So what I've achieved now is not just for the last 3 years,
no,
it's from being 13.
Yeah, indeed, because you talked about as a dyslexic child at school and leaving with no qualifications, taking on a market stall, that's an entrepreneurial, incredibly entrepreneurial thing to do, and then setting up a second-hand shop as well. So this all goes back to...
Yeah, it all goes back. What I've achieved now is not just in the last 3 years, it goes back from being 13, because it was a struggle, you know, one of six children, single parent, you know. But I've done okay, so I'm pleased I've kept going.
And in a previous business, you've also launched a beauty salon with support from the Prince's Trust, which you ran as a successful business through until...
Until the lease ran out.
Yeah.
really. So, and then another beauty salon opened across the way, so it was too much competition. So I decided to get out, you know, when the lease ran out of that business. So, yeah, I've literally done everything you can possibly mention.
So you mentioned, really, the business you're running now, successfully selling juices across the world, Juice to You, is the culmination of this learning process in business, going back to the age of 13, learning and developing. And what you've done with Juice to You has grown it from the sort of a kitchen business.
Yes.
Being very, very careful in terms of overheads and not taking on expenses until the income was there, on the other way around.
Yes, yeah. I've still kept my overheads pretty low as well. You know, we keep everything low. You know, I've not got too big for my boots. You know, we've just got a small little factory that works for us.
Yes, I see. Great. So thinking then, I suppose, lots of people on this show have talked about getting advice and support and asking for help from people and not being scared of asking for support and help. Are there any sources that you'd recommend people go to in terms of assistance, support, whether it's friends, whether it's doing your market research, as you said?
I think now you can find everything out through, you know, the internet. I would strongly advise anybody to really think about what they want to do, where they're going to invest their money, do lots of research, keep your overheads low, you know, ask for help and advice. I went to family members, people who I knew, you know, didn't pay for any advice, keep everything free, and just go with your gut instinct. That's what I would do. But, you know, free advice is the key.
And aims for 2016. We've been talking with Peter about businesses setting goals. Is the business going to be around the same size, or do you think it'll be twice as big, three times as big?
I've got some new products coming out in 2016. I've just launched a new juice at the moment, so that's going crazy. That's a charcoal cleanse. So I'm hoping to still grow the business. I've got a soup detox due to come out as well. So, yeah, lots of things are happening, and it will be a busy year for me.
Super. Okay, well, Jermaine Smith of Juice to You, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a fascinating story. People can find out more about you at your Twitter account and, of course, online. Do you want to just mention the Twitter address?
It's Juice to You,
And the website?
Is www.juicetoyou.com.
Super. Jermaine, thank you very much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. With me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. And on the show today, we've heard from Peter Lodeman of Live Your Future Today. And Peter's been talking about setting appropriate goals and achieving those goals in your business and in your life. And we've been talking with Jermaine Smith of Juice to You, who's grown a global juicing business, and talking about the business that she's grown and celebrity endorsements from across the world. Now, if you've just tuned in and you've missed that, don't panic, because you can catch up with today's show on the podcast on the Sheffield Live website. It'll be up at about 11 a.m. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find shows, find Business Live, and it will be there. And we, of course, will be back next Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. But next up today on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. So please do stay tuned to that. Before we play out with a quick track of music, I'm just going to quickly flag up, today is Micro Biz Matters Day 2016. So if you know someone, or if you are self-employed or an independent business owner, then Micro Biz Matters Day is for you. If you want to find out more about what it is, then follow on Twitter, hashtag Micro Biz Matters Day, or go to microbizmattersday.rocks. That's www.microbizmattersday.rocks. The aim of the day is to support independent small business owners. So take a look at that. So my name's Jamie Veitch. You've been listening to Business Live. Thanks for listening today. In the studio with us has also been Paul Gregory, assisting as sound engineer. So my thanks to Paul. My thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week. We're going to play out with the Payroll Union, Through the Trees.